Luke 6, in verse 45, we've got down to verse 46 or 47, but I want to go back to 45 a minute. Actually, 43 and 44. For every good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bringeth good fruit. For every tree is known by his fruit, his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather, etc., etc. I want to spend a little time in this tree business. The human race is as compared to trees, I mean, in many, many places in the New Testament. And it's when John the Baptist said that the axe has been laid to the root of the trees, he meant all the trees, the human race. But last fall, there were some of the trees that dropped their leaves relatively soon, right away. And it seemed to all go together. But some, and those were the weaker trees, the ones that probably were not at their peak of health. But the stronger trees, or the healthier trees, they kept the leaves for way long, long time. I remember there was two or three leaves on Johnny's tree that it seemed like they never came off. But if the lack, we've got to see that in our doctrine, the axe has been laid to the fruit of the tree. And the weaker you are, the weaker you recognize yourself, the weaker that you see the emptiness and futility of your mind and thoughts, etc., then quickly the leaves seem to fall. And the leaves are all of the stuff. They're ways of thinking, their opinions, they're all of the stuff that's not of the fruit of the tree of life. And the way, you don't deal with them by trying to fix them. You deal with them, you just abide. You abide in him, and you give no breath to the leaf, because it will die. But it's almost as if you give it a lot of breath. If you try to resist, then it gives it more life. Let's go to John 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it might bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word that I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of or from itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. And I remember when we first studied this a long, long time ago. 76. The people were struggling with, you know, all the stuff, drugs and alcohol and everything. And this teaching on what the tree does, that the axe is laid to the root of the tree, and all the stuff that concerns you, whether it's judgments or anger or opinions, or if you just abide, and as you see, as you're exhorted, as you see, or if you agree that this isn't to be done, You don't worry about it. You just ignore it. And the leaves, those leaves fall off of their own accord. And the branches, even the branches are pruned by, not by you, but by God. So everything, all the things that concern you about yourself or about what you're doing or this is this or it doesn't meet the standards of the scripture or you're bearing fruit that isn't as good as it seemed like, is if you see it, then the act of saying, Father, forgive me, it's your total, it's the end of your job. Everything else then from then forward is God's business. And if you're not bearing the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, mercy, meekness, faith, etc., then it's not your business, it's God's business. Because if you try to act like you're bearing fruit, then you're giving life to the very thing that you're trying to resist. That's why the scriptures say, resist not evil. Does that make sense?
Yeah. God will trim and prune away whatever the problem is that's causing the fruit to be shriveled up or non-existent or whatever.
Yeah, the old nature is dead. Don't struggle about it.
What troubles me, though, I have no problem with that. That's great. That's wonderful. But I don't know how easy it is to ignore. You say when those things come at you, you should ignore them. I don't have the capacity to ignore, because if I ignore something, it becomes my shadow. It's just in back of me. The more things I put back there, the more there is back there. Ignore is a word I can't get through on this.
Okay, what I'm talking about is if you can see that it's something that you would rather not have, or the scriptures say that it would rather not be, then you say, Father, forgive me, and from then you ignore it.
If you're saying, I just don't want to do that anymore, or I don't want to, you know.
That's all it is, really.
Okay, well, that's different than ignore a little bit. That ignore troubles me, right?
Okay.
The relation between repentance and abiding.
Right.
It's like these two things are, you know, one thing, really, because when you repent, then the abiding is what you do after you repent.
Right.
You're just there, and things come up, and then you repent some more. And it's, you know.
Yeah, and that's what the thoughts and imaginations.
I mean, Paul says to, he really said leaving behind,
That's what I was just
ignoring. Yeah, that's like you do ignore it, but you ignore it because you know something. You know that it's obliterated, it's gone at the cross.
Yeah,
you
let's
don't ignore
go to,
it because you don't like it or you want to, escape from it.
Let's go to Philippians 3.
Ignore to me has a little bit of a connotation of back-burnering it,
Yeah, that's not what he's. John's got the right scripture.
I don't know where it is, though.
I do. Philippians chapter 3.
We just read it.
What?
In our Bible study. I should have actually remembered this.
Oh, okay. In verse 7, what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own rightness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting that's those things which are behind, and pressing and reaching forth unto the things which are before. And so the word forgetting there can also be translated ignore, and that's why I said it. But it's not putting him in a back burner. It's abiding in him, then it's his business. And so the leaves will fall as long as you abide. Amen? Mm-hmm. Again, it's the same kind of a situation as with the faith of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But with Abraham, it took a long time. It took 100 years. But his whole walk was simply, I don't want to do that anymore. And he didn't do it anymore. It may have not happened that quickly. You know, we don't see the struggle that he had with it. He may have said, I don't want to do that anymore, and then still thought about it for a while. But I'm trying to get you to say that none of this, to see that none of this is your business except to abide in him. You know, you know how I love small talk. But if that's what there, if you know that it's not edifying because it's not seasoned with salt, then you know the more you try to resist, the more power you give it. And the same is true with bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. I can say that, but how does one do it? Do you do it by struggling, or do you do it by repentance? And that's all you can do. Repentance, it's like we've talked about the Lord's Prayer, and this is critical in this. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You can't, if something is troubling you, you can't say, hallowed be thy name. And what you do when you're troubled by it is you give it to him, you put it on the altar. It's his business. But what's so hard for people to understand is when you give it to him and you put it on the altar, if you take it back, it's kind of stupid. You're not even, that's totally illegal in the system of the parable of the temple. So ignoring, forgetting, giving it to God, resting in it, abiding, they're all the same thing in this. Amen?
Amen.
All right. They will drop off. Yeah, these are kind of interesting about, these are some quotes from Enoch, the book of Enoch, which is, I don't know if it's even existent, the total book, is it?
Well, I haven't ever seen the whole.
No, there's...
They quote from like, you know...
Yeah, the fragments. It's talking here about the tree of life, and it has a fragrance beyond all fragrances, to leaf and to bloom, and wood... That will not wither for not will wither not forever. Its fruit is beautiful and resembles a date palm. Unto you is paradise opened, the tree of life is planted within you. And there's all kinds of scriptures about this is your life. I mean. I just saw those other scriptures. Where are they? Let's go to a couple of them. Let's go to Ezekiel 47. This is about the river. It's the river flowing from the temple, but it's really the river of life flowing from Jesus Christ. In verse 8, then it said he unto me, these waters issue out toward the east country and go down into the desert and go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the river shall come, shall live. And there shall be very great multitudes there of fish. And this is talking about the fish or the us. Because the water shall come there, they shall be healed. And everything shall live, whether the river cometh. And it shall come to pass that the fishers shall stand upon it from En-Gedi even unto En-Eglim, and they shall be a place to spread forth nets. Their fish shall be according to their kinds, as the fish of the great sea, exceeding many. But the miry, or muddy places thereof, and the marshes thereof shall not be healed. They shall be given to salt. And by the river upon the bank thereof, on this side and on that side, shall grow all trees for food, whose leaf shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit according to his months, because their waters they issued out of the sanctuary, and the fruit thereof shall be for meat, and the leaves thereof shall be for medicine. And it's the same tree that's in Revelation 22. But it's this internal tree that it's so hard for us to conceive. In my opinion, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was attractive and it was pleasing to the eyes. The tree of life is the cross. And so the cross is what's yielding the fruit and the healing. And that's not necessarily, that's not stated in the scripture, that's just my opinion. But anyhow, enough of that. Let's go back to where we are studying in Luke. We are in Luke verse 46. Now we're in 47. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my saying and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. Now doeth is this incredible word that means to bear fruit. You can't bear, the tree doesn't bear fruit by thinking about it or trying to do it. The tree bears fruit by abiding. And so that's all we can do. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my saying and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundations on a rock. And when the flood came, when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. Now that rock is the basis, is the foundation, and that rock is Jesus Christ. And you've dug deep in yourself to make sure there's no place that you put that still is, how can I say it, that still is time dependent. And that becomes, anything that's time dependent is the sand. And if you build your house on the sand, let's see what happens. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man without a foundation built on a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. So the whole issue of this is that in this process, or in this, what we call sanctification, the Holy Spirit is digging deep within you to make sure that the foundation is upon Jesus Christ himself. And he's digging deep within you until there's total emptiness. And the word house there is the same word for temple. So you are the temple of the living God. Again, the other parable about this is his humility is so great, he cannot occupy where you are. But all you have to do is be willing in the day of his power. But let it happen. Amen?
Amen.
All right, I don't feel like talking anymore.
That was a new quote from Ian.
Yeah. Anybody have anything else? Oh, wait, we have to spend a minute on one other thing. The house is, as I said, the house in verse 48. He built a house, it's oika. And the house is our heavenly abode. Let's go to John, real quickly, John 14, 2. Let not your heart be troubled. No, 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, or it really says many minos or many satyrs. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Now, again, this, my Father's house, it's here, it's oika. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. Chapter 5. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And again, the house is the same word. And for this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon that mortality might be swallowed up of life. So anyway, that's the parable about the house and the sand and the earlier one about the trees. Okay? Take it, big guy. Did you get much stuff last night?
We got some stuff. I figured out.